and welcome to Your Overseas Connection. I am not your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag, Murphy's Law. I am, in fact, your co-host with the most host, CP Matthew, Gamertag CPM1376, trying to get us started this week because it's slow going. But joining us, as always, from his tent in the backyard, Mr. Skullduggerer.
What's up? What's up? Everybody all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I can't see much. Yeah, Skullduggerer here. Skullduggerer on everything. Skullduggerer on Game Center now.
Ooh.
Jumped up. Mike, are you there?
Apparently not.
I've lost the will to live, to be honest.
Well done. Well done. Stay with us. Stay with us, Mike. It's only a two-hour show. We'll be fine. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you. It's always nice to have the overseas and overseas connection. And rounding out the US corner, Mr. Greg DeLacy.
This is just weird. This is just weird.
Isn't it? Think about the listeners at home. They're freaked out right now.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah. No. Yeah.
Do you know, like, he's swearing when he's not the host as well?
I can what?
Greg's swearing now that he's not the host.
Oh, yeah. I can swear like a truck driver now.
He's dropping F-bombs all over the shop.
I'm excited. It's an exciting day. I didn't have to do the intro. I didn't have to remind everybody that we're the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. You know, like gaming for the elderly thing.
I guess that is important.
Yeah, you know. That's okay. That was good, though, Chris.
Give me a break. It's my first time.
I'm giving you a gold star. You get a gold star. That was a great intro.
Yay, gold star.
Good work.
Woo. All good if I'm doing that next week.
I think we're going to put you in charge of the quiz next week, Rich. It'll be payback. Ooh. You can have some nice juicy payback to me.
Nothing but iPad questions for Mike.
But hey, the whole reason why it took so long for this whole show to get started, it was this contest business. Apparently, we went crazy with contests.
We
have contests up the wazoo, and you don't want to have contests. Did I just say contest? Yeah.
Contest.
This show is going downhill fast. Yeah.
I don't know what a wazoo is, but it doesn't sound pleasant.
You don't want it there either. But, Chris, help me out. Save me. Just repeat off this week's winner, 100-point contest.
The first contest for which we're trying to sort things out is the 100 points for leaving us a review or just being a loyal listener, really. So congratulations this week to our good friend, Dr. Crawlmad, who will get you next time, Gadget. Next time! Give us a reach out to us over email, Facebook, any other form of electronic communication, and we'll try to find you as well to get you your 100-point code. Fear not, if we haven't heard from you by next week, we'll just read it on the air.
Exactly. But whatever you do, do not give us more contest ideas. We have plenty. All right, that one out of the way.
New contest time!
No, not yet.
Old contest time.
Old contest, still clearing up. So we had the other contest, which was actually having to do with this whole, what would you do with 100 points to win a copy of Warp, which is coming out in the Xbox Live Arcade House Party.
Any good?
Well, we think it's going to be good. It hasn't come out yet, Mike. This is the exciting part. We're giving away a new arcade game. Yeah.
I'll be all in on everything.
Yeah.
One of our dedicated listeners will maybe give us a review of it.
Yes, I will. Possibly. And, Mike, we also are going to be giving away – never mind. I was going to go with the grandma joke, but I can't do it.
Okay. Too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
Too soon.
All right. Chris.
Greg.
We went through all the different answers, right?
We did. We went through all the responses last week except for – we had a last-minute entry from Mr. Parsnip Nose, who says, "Hello, lovelies. I apologize for being a week late, but I have an answer to your question. What to do with 100 Microsoft points? Show them a photo of Megan Fox and see if they grow. It works for Greggy every time. Giggity, giggity, giggity." So thank you, Parsnip, for that response. And we want to thank everyone who chipped in ideas for what to do with 100 points. But we put our heads together in the digital sense across the ones and zeros airwaves and decided that the winner... congratulations to Mr. Denver J.
Yes.
It's available for purchase. I will PM you your download code for Warp over the forum's private messaging system. Thanks to everyone who participated. We had some particularly clever responses.
Yes. And Parsnip, you were disqualified as soon as you said hello, lovelies, just for the record.
Hello, my lovelies.
Hello, lovelies.
Yes.
Do we have a worthy mention as well?
We did have some worthy mentions. One worthy mention goes to Shinyverse, who says he would buy a grav hammer prop and beat down your avatar. A worthy mention and a swift kick in the ass goes to Marcanix, who says you can look at them and see what sort of 2-bit cheap-ass podcast would give out 100 point codes. So Mike and Rich will be around with the lead pipe and the blowtorch, Mike, to sort you out.
Yes. I also would say Giles Cudmore gave us a late response saying Denver J tried too hard. He said for 100 points, he could buy grease and have change. Thought that was clever.
Very clever.
But, no, in fact, Denver J put in at least 100 points of effort. Some might say 800 points of effort. So, yeah.
And there you have it. You're on your way to your Microsoft points empire, Denver J.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Our next contest, Rich. You then decided that you needed to do something for your British friends.
Yes, I have an excellent contest for us to participate in. It's called Dark Souls for the Lovers, being as it's coming up to Valentine's Day.
Let it go. The game fucking sucks. I've never played it. I don't care. I don't know. Yeah. I could like it. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
Anyway, maybe
I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know.
We have one copy of the PAL version of Dark Souls up for grabs.
One copy.
Yeah, one copy.
Jesus.
Well, somebody might interject at the end of this, but I'll just read out the question anyway. So, if you want to win a copy of Dark Souls, basically, here's what you got to do. You want to send a poem or a song of the game of your dreams. We want love poems and songs about your favourite games. MP3 recitals will gain preferential treatment. Get them sent in.
You're right, Greg.
And,
yes, I am.
Want our North American listeners to feel left out. An anonymous donor has found an NTSA version or NTSC version of Dark Souls. So we'll have two winners to this amazing contest.
Yes.
Steve.
So Americans and Brits can rejoice and give their love to the podcast. Yes.
So sing us a song of your favorite game, MP3 responses, video responses that we can hang on the forums, text responses, okay. Is that really
the competition, they have to sing a song?
They don't have to sing a song, they can write a poem.
They have to sing.
I've got a week. You're getting people to sing and dance and write poems.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah. That's
Mike,
what we're doing.
We evolve.
We are developing worshippers. They will be singing songs to us soon.
Yes.
So what we didn't mention, Rich, was the deadline. The deadline for your submissions is February the 14th, Valentine's Day.
Yes. February the 14th.
We say 5 Eastern.
I would say 5 Eastern is a very good time to put in. So February 14th, 5 Eastern, that's some ridiculous time in the UK. But 5 Eastern,
10 p.m.
Get your submissions, 10 p.m., Gross Mountain, Greenwich Mean Time. Send in your response. It doesn't have to be an MP3 audio. However, as Rich did say, you're going to get a little bit of a nod right off the bat for you know, having the cojones to come on and sing for us. So about the only thing that might be able to outdo that would be some kind of live song, but I don't think I just don't think that would work. So send the MP3. You could even call the voice line and sing the song.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that in a second here.
We've got a voice line.
Yeah, we've got a voice line too.
What's going on with this show?
We are expanding and growing. So, you know, you could always call into the voice line. Now, this is an American number. We're working on trying to get a UK number as well, but right now it's 626-50-OCPOD. And you can leave that song on the voicemail. And, of course, you can always just send us the actual poem, and we'll do the reading online. But, you know, you're not going to get the prop points. Exactly. It's just not quite as good. Okay. Whew. I'm tired. I think that's like a full show right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we're done. No, we're not done yet. We need to talk about what we've been playing.
What we've been playing.
Motherfuckers.
What you've been playing. What you've been playing. What you've been playing. What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing. Mike, tell me something. Yes. Tell me, have you played any games in the past few weeks?
My headset fell off. My headset fell off. This is the worst podcast episode ever. My headset fell off.
Okay. Is it back on yet, Mike? Are you okay? Are you bleeding? No. Do you need us to call an ambulance?
I need an adult.
You do need an adult in your life. That is definitely a true statement.
Oh, God.
Need some structure.
Join in the army, son.
I have played something.
Thank God.
The skin flu.
Don't get excited.
Chris, really?
Yeah, really.
All right. Don't get excited. It's from 2008.
No. It was released this year.
This is exciting.
Right. But I didn't play the full game. I played the demo.
Okay. Still better than your response last time.
I played it a while ago, so I can't remember much. So I did write notes, Greg, while playing it.
You know what? And good for you, Mike. I'm glad to see.
The suspense is killing me.
I know.
Yep.
The listeners at home are on the edge of their seats, biting into their iPods right now.
Now, by the way, I'm just going to throw out there, if this is not the Darkness 2 demo, seriously, Mike, what the fuck? This is the one game I know for sure you are going to want to play as a demo, and you have yet to play it.
Right. It's better than that. No, we die. It's Grand Slam Tennis, yeah!
What? You seriously played Grand Slam Tennis?
Right, so these are my notes on Grand Slam Tennis 2, the demo. They give you a very quick view of the controls at the start, and you're like, hey, what the fuck? Commentary is awkward. Buffer talking at the same time, which is pretty good, but they must have been in the same room. John McEnroe is a dick, and he's a dick on this commentary. When you bring up the guide in an Xbox game, what should happen to the game when you bring up the guide? Anyone?
It should pause, unless
it's crappy. It fucking should pause. Unless what?
Unless it's crappy. There's lots of games out there that don't pause.
This game does not pause.
Yeah.
Which is annoying. They give you a cue every time you hit the ball, which tells you if you hit it early, good, or too late. And it's a tennis game, whatever, but the only thing they should do is, have you ever played FIFA, Greg or Chris?
FIFA?
FIFA.
Long time ago, yes.
Well, basically, in the loading screen of FIFA, they give you kind of like a practice thing going on. And you can pretty much control the player, and you've got a goal and a striker, and you can just shoot a couple of goals while it's loading. They should do that with this, because the controls are quite awkward, and by the time you figure them out, you've lost. But I did play another demo.
Okay.
This is a little bit more interesting, because it's terrible. I took a drink. Final Fantasy 13, 2, 6, alrighty then. Yeah. I played that.
Steve Conger would have you believe it's a great game and he's really enjoying it.
He is fucking deluded.
I think he is delusional.
This game is shit. Like, really bad. Right, the battle system wasn't too bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like, I thought it was going to be really complicated. And I kind of understood what was going on there. But still, it wasn't completely obvious. The little pet thing is called Piggy Kitty. Really? That's exactly what I wrote on my notes. Piggy Kitty. This guy is walking around as a badass with a thing called Piggy Kitty. Imagine the Blade film, and you got Wesley Snipes, and he's like, I'm going to fucking cut your head off, vampire. Right? What's that thing we always do, Wesley Snipes? Ah, oh, it's Piggy Kitty. Don't worry about him. I'm still going to cut all your head off. All that threat is still there. Right? The music doesn't match the game. So, like, the music just... You're walking around this village trying to talk to people awkwardly, and the music's just like this epic score of beautiful... You know, you feel like this massive battle should be going on. And it's like... I'm just walking around a town. I'm like... Is the wrong track on? Is there a CD on that I don't know? When you walk up to the gate, there's like this gate thing that you came in the area with, and you walk up to it and you press it, and you know, if you can't go through it, what would you expect it to say? Something like, you can't access this gate at the moment, right? Or something like that.
Right.
You go up to this gate and he says, nothing happens. I found that funny.
Nothing happens.
And there's a like a sales clerk thing, Cocolina or something. Or Chocolina, Chococolina or something. And basically, it's a woman dressed as a chicken, and a very sexy chicken at that.
Isn't that the Chocobo she's dressed up as?
She's supposed to look like one, isn't she?
Yeah. A sexy Chocobo,
and it's very odd. And I don't think I would buy anything off a sexy Chocobo, to be honest. It's very boring, and there's nothing in the demo that hooks you in. Like, it just... assumes that it's awesome and brilliant, and you know, I just think anybody who likes Final Fantasy is obviously fucking off their tits. And I'm sorry, Steve, you fall into that. There must be something wrong with you, or you're so wrapped in nostalgia that you think it's good, because it's not. So the people who came out of the Star Wars Episode One film, like 10 minutes later, convinced themselves that it was good. It's like that wasn't that bad, you know. Like, all right, so it didn't make sense, and no, there was no lead character, and no one really got on, and there was no journey there, or any. They convinced themselves that it's good.
So, Mike, can I sum this up for you? Pre-order day one, buy.
Yeah, I've got it here with me now. This is it. There you go. Terrible. So that was the only two things I played.
Okay. Let's move on to maybe somebody who has something positive to say about a certain game he tried out. Mr. Primrose, I see something very interesting in your what you've been playing list. There's some usual suspects, but there's a, dare I say, a happy demo?
We picked up the Double Fine Happy Action Theater, for Kinect.
Okay.
For those that don't know, it's a lot of mini games and stuff. Absolutely no scoring system whatsoever.
Yeah, I heard. Sorry.
Kicks.
Yeah, I was about to say. I've heard it's actually kind of more just like a collection of things to do. Like you actually could just like run this in the background, and you don't really do anything. Like there's no score per se.
No. There's a score on like there's a Space Invaders game. There's a score. But basically, wherever your bullets hit in the digits, just changes the digits to random numbers, so it's got no meaning whatsoever. But it's hard to say, it's good as a game, because it's not really a game. It's just entertainment. It's entertainment if you've got kids about the house and you're having a party. It's entertainment if you've got people around the house and you're all having a drink and you want to have a laugh. It seems to work in a lot of the games a lot like... you're in the movies type thing.
Okay.
But the good news is it actually works. So it does seem to... Well, it does it very cleverly. I think you're in the movies tried to cut out the background.
You're in the movies!
Yeah. You used to try and cut out the background too much. This one, all it does is map your body, keeps the background, and then basically sticks things in the foreground. So you could have like... your body's imposed overlooking a city, and you've got a record of the skyscrapers and stuff in front of you. So it's 800 points. Played the demo of it. Kids were loving it. So we had four kids around at the time, and they were all jumping around, going mental with it. So picked it up, and it's got a wide variety of stuff. Just various, puts various filters on the camera, so you get like... a Madhouse of Mirrors type game and stuff. And yeah.
So it really is kind of like a party game.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Yeah.
Party.
Party.
It appeal to adults as well, Richard.
Yeah, when they're inebriated.
So get drunk first, then play it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Definitely. I can get behind that.
So it's not for me, then?
Well, Mike, you can always start. I'm just saying, you know. One little sip, it'll send you down that path.
I think it's good that the two things that I'm finding most favourable on this Kinect thing are things that have come out on the arcade. So there's definitely, because you've got such a well-established marketplace and stuff, Microsoft, I think they're onto a winner with these little games that keep coming out. So hopefully they'll grow.
Okay.
Get better, yeah. And Double Fine do a really good job of it. They've got weird, where you'd have a cutscene on any sort of Kinect game, they'll take the odd picture, yeah, and they'll flash that up on the screen. They do that quite uniquely on this as well. So they'll take the picture, and then they'll basically turn it into a black and white photo and stick it on a newspaper and do the old black and white movie thing of spinning the newspaper out to the foreground and showing you the picture shot. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's very well done, yeah, and worth a mention.
Okay.
Try the demo, definitely, and if you like it, then have a go, because it's cheap.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, carried on with Kingdom Rush. Great tower defense game on the iPad. Loving that. Cheers to Kev Knight for recommending it. I've now fully immersed J-Boy P in tower defense games, and in the space of a day, set up a separate save for him on it, and he's caught up with me. So we're both stuck on the same level. Yeah, that's great. Modern Warfare 3 campaign, continued with that. I've got to say, it's probably the best campaign that I've played, Modern Warfare. I love what they do with the story. I'm currently at a spot where they've basically done a flashback to something that you do in Call of Duty 4.
Ah, yes, I know where you are, yeah.
Very nice. Nice things going off in that, and yeah, finding the story very satisfying. I just hope it doesn't go out with the older flags are waving tight ending like Black Ops did, because I was enjoying that right up until the end as well. So we'll see. And finally, another Xbox Live game that I ended up picking up because it was on offer, because you told me last week.
Yeah.
Bastion.
And how do you like it?
I'm really enjoying it. It's hard to say anything really that negative about it, because the music and everything in it is brilliant. The narration's brilliant, as we all know, because that was like the big pull when it came out.
Just rages for a while.
I've got to say, like, when I played the demo, it never grabbed me. But I thought I'd take a gamble on it, because it's a lot like Braid, and I took the jump on that. And I've got to say, I didn't find the gameplay as, when I carried on playing it, it didn't keep me there. Whereas this one, it's got very satisfying gameplay. Got lots of skill trees and varieties for ranking up your weapons and so on. And it very nicely unfolds a what seems like quite a satisfying story as well. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's definitely worth the points. And they've done a really good job of developing this game. I like it. It's good.
Excellent.
And it's a bargain. So.
It was indeed a bargain. I think it's gone back up in price now, though. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
because this week there's a new offer, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's move on to Mr. Matthew. You've got some games on the old list there.
Well, not a whole lot new, though. Played Forza 4, Battlefield 3. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Finished Gears 3 on Insane with a little help from a few people, so that was awfully nice. But then to help me out with that, Halo Reach. I think I finished the campaign last week. Just been playing Firefight and a little bit of multiplayer. Been having a good time with it. and we finally managed to sort out the achievement for assassinating an elite to save yourself from a deathfall.
Ah.
Many failed attempts at that before I finally got it.
Yeah, I probably tried that a good 100 times, and I don't think I ever got it. I think I finally gave up on it and moved on.
I got that, and I think I was with you when you was trying to get it, Greg.
God, that was annoying.
Yeah.
It is kind of annoying. Just so right. But anyway.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Continue to work on Commander's Attack of the Genos. I've gotten up to Mission 8, and I've kind of gone back now, and I've started playing each mission again to get 5 stars.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to learn the game better, you know?
Yeah.
Quarrel, the Scrabble meets Risk game, which is actually a lot of fun. Been enjoying that.
Okay.
I have been having a bit of a challenge, though, because there's a lot of slang words in there that I'm not familiar with. So sometimes the AI will beat me on a slang word that I'm never heard of before.
So you're trying to say you need to get a little more hip? Get down with the peeps.
Become British.
become British. I like that.
Possibly. Yeah. Or, yeah, whatever.
You played on the Xbox, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I heard about it when I heard Stuart talking about it, and I picked it up on the iPad. And the whole reason behind that was that I didn't fancy the idea of using the controller for doing the words and stuff. So how do you find the controlling? Does it work? Can you do fast? Because a lot of it's based on timing, isn't it, and beating the AI.
Yeah, you got to get the – like if you and the AI have the same score, whoever gets the word in faster is the tiebreaker. Yeah. It's not too bad with the thumbstick because it's a maximum of 8 letters.
Yeah.
And usually you're only using 5 or 6 of them anyway because, you know, you can only use as many letters as you have battle pieces or whatever. So that's not too bad. I read somewhere that you can use the 360 chat pad to type it in, so I'm going to give that a try next time I play it.
Cool. It's good that it's got like a bit of a Risk element to it as well, isn't it, with the map and everything. I like that.
Yeah, I like the way the map is set up, and, you know, it's just kind of a zany little – the little characters are kind of funny, and they do funny things. So, yeah, I mean, for 400 points, it's a pretty clever little game. Glad I picked it up. And then lastly, I got back into the old Trenched, which is now called Iron Brigade, with the new Rise of the Martian Bear DLC.
Yes.
Started off poorly because, for whatever reason – when I downloaded the update and then the DLC, it overwrote my game save when I loaded it up.
Oh.
So I had to start back at the beginning.
That is a little rough.
Yeah, because you can't get to the DLC until you finish the main quest. And not only that, but the DLC is much more challenging. The enemies are much higher level. So you need to be leveled up in order to be competitive in there. I played a few rounds on the DLC with Steve-O-Matic and Ender-837, who were ranked up. And so I was basically just kind of sitting there.
Riding their coattails.
So it was nice that they were there to help, because I gained a few levels very quickly from all the XP that you get for killing the enemies. But I was virtually useless. So this new DLC is going to be a bit more challenging than the original game was. It's actually, you know, so it's going to be pretty good, I think. I just got to get leveled up a little bit more so I can actually, you know, enjoy it. And I have to beat the main game again so that I can enjoy that.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's that.
And that's that.
Chris, how much was that DLC?
$5.
Four. 400 points.
400 points.
400 points in
space
proper money.
I
still haven't played Trenched yet. Will I like that?
Well, Trenched is dead, Mike. It's now Iron Brigade.
Fuck that stupid British limey crap.
So the game itself is really a lot of fun. I do have one beef about it, and maybe this is being overly critical, but it could really do with a few saved setups, you know?
Like you could preload a setup?
Yeah, because having to go in every time that I want to switch between roles and rebuild the whole thing is kind of a pain in the butt. But
well, it's because they want you to go onto the aircraft carrier deck and see your dude and do the salute. Which, well, no, by the way, now, two-handed salute.
Yeah, you can do it with two hands. I'm okay with the whole aircraft carrier interface. I think that's pretty clever. It would just be nice if I could, when I click on the trench, I could just go to pick from maybe four right. preset setups.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Mike, to answer your question, I would say download the trial.
Yeah.
You know, you can try before you buy.
There's a trial for arcade games now.
That's crazy.
You were gone a week, and now there's trials for arcade games.
What is happening?
The sky is turning red.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's fun. I like it. I like Fred. I'm glad they put out some DLC for it. I hope that some other people that I know get it. Greg DeLacy.
I have purchased it.
Well done.
Picked it up last night. So, yeah, we will be fighting the fight.
Fighting the fight.
And the
thing, shooting elites, trying to hit them on the head for an achievement that doesn't matter.
Further goes downhill.
I'm going to write that
for that competition.
Yeah, there you go.
Mike, you're not eligible for the competition. Besides, you don't like
the fuck.
And we are earning our illicit ranking.
Have we lost that as well? Can I not swear there?
No, you can swear to your heart's content. So for me, Skyrim, Saints Row the Third, the Starhawk beta, went back in, gave that another shot, and had equally rough goes in the Starhawk beta. So I don't think that's going to be on my purchase list.
Is it nothing special?
Greg, did I hear you say Saints Row the Third?
Yes, you did hear me say Saints Row the Third. I'll get back to that in a second.
How long have you had that?
I just got it about a week ago from Gamefly.
Oh, so you don't have the online pass?
No, I do not have the online pass.
Oh, okay.
I have the online pass.
Congratulations, Mike. So Starhawk beta, it's competent, but I don't find anything about it compelling me in saying I want to play this more than, say, a Gears of War 3 or a Battlefield 3 or Modern Warfare 3. I think those are all better shooters, and so I don't see myself, you know, wanting to pick up Starhawk. At least so far what I played in the beta. Now, it is a beta, so I'm trying not to be overly critical. Things can change between now and the release. But a lot of me feels the multiplayer, at least, if nothing else, is going to be a fairly kind of chaotic bit of a kind of a mess, because this whole idea of you can lay down fortifications wherever you want, in theory, sounds awesome. But what I've found in practice, as you get into these games, you just have people randomly putting shit everywhere, and there's no real teamwork. And maybe, you know, when you come up against a group of people that are working together, it's going to be pretty awesome for them. But at least so far on my end, it's just been chaotic.
Oh, what game is this?
Starhawk, the beta for Starhawk. Look,
fortifications, I'm guessing, is the same thing as Gears or something?
Similar. So it's a little more large scale. So imagine as you're playing, you say, you know, you've earned some points, and you say, you know what, I want to build a wall right here. And it's maybe a wall to block off a pathway.
Right.
You just build a wall. And you call in from an orbital drop happens, this wall, you know, slams down and starts building up, and then it's there. You could say, I want an armory, and it would, you know, this building would come down and kind of build up, just like a tower defense kind of game.
Right.
And so people could go in and get refills on ammo from there. You could call down turrets, and you can call down, you know, vehicle launch pads and depots. The problem is, it's, you know, nobody seems to be communicating, and people just are randomly putting what they want where they want. And like, I had an instance last week where literally had somebody box in the flag in a capture the flag game with walls.
Right.
And I made the mistake of jumping in there thinking I would be able to climb out, but there was no ladders to get out. So literally for 15 minutes, I was stuck inside a box.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, the shooting all seems fine. It's not like it's doing anything in particularly bad. It just doesn't feel better than some of the other online shooter experiences out there.
I see.
And I think what I was most excited for with Starhawk, to be quite honest, was the single player, because it had kind of that Firefly sci-fi feel to it. At least that was the impression they were giving.
You're a fan of that Firefly.
I am. Yeah, I am. And so I was really kind of hoping and still hoping that the single player might be that. So this might be a rental. I just play the single player and don't bother with the multiplayer. I don't know. But kind of, you know, it remains to be seen how that pans out.
It's not going to take over your multiplayer life.
No. No. Yeah. Not at least right now. And then Saints Row the Third. And actually, playing the campaign, I have to admit, I actually have been enjoying the campaign so far. I don't really find anything horrible about it. You know, and maybe it's because I'm going into it with the thought of it's not going to be anything spectacular or...
It's not going to be Schindler's List.
Yeah. I did find it ironically funny that I decided to create a character that is probably the skankiest hoe I could possibly make.
Oh, yeah. I've got one of those.
Everybody's got one of those, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
You've got to enjoy the view while you're playing that game.
This is true. This is true. And also not play it while the wife is present. Yeah.
You get an awkward look there, Greg, wouldn't you?
Pretty much when you're running around without any clothes on, she's like, why is everything pixelated on that character? You know.
It's some side mission.
But yeah, so that was pretty much it. I'm waiting for Kingdoms of Amalur. It's coming to me today, so that will be the big thing. Yeah, excited for that. And I think that's pretty much it. I think at this point we can move on to some new releases. All right, so new releases this week. Well, let's see. On the Wii, nothing. Again, not a single thing coming out this week to the Wii. I can honestly say, if I was a Nintendo Wii owner, I would be shipping back my Wii to Nintendo saying, I want a refund.
Yep, well, it's good that we didn't buy one when Steve said buy one for Wii.
Yeah, I know.
He also
said I should buy it for Xenoblade, but I would have nothing to play between now and Xenoblade, whenever that comes out. Love you, Steve. A special mention for the 3DS. I know we normally don't talk about 3DS games, but Resident Evil Revelations does come out this week. So it's one of the few highlights for Nintendo. I thought it worth mentioning. On the old PS Triple, lots of stuff coming out this week. So I think we are officially definitely well past the rut of no games, because we've got The Darkness 2, Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition, Jack and Daxter Collection, and Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning. On the PSN front, all kinds of stuff. Catherine, Gotham City Imposters, Jack and Daxter Collection, Jack 2, Jack 3, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, Shank 2, The Simpsons Arcade Game, The SpongeBob SquarePants Movie, PS2 Classic Game, and Top Spin 4. A few demos coming out to the PSN this week. Cubix HD, and Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine. Yeah, free demos out there if you want it on the PS Triple. And DLC, we've got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the Weapon Expert Pack. Moving over to the old Xbox 360. We also have The Darkness 2 coming out this week, Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition, Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, and Zumba Fitness Rush, all hitting retail shelves. Xbox Live Arcade this week sees Gotham City Imposters and Shank 2. And a little DLC love going on for Forza Motorsport 4, the Le Mans Series Pack, and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the Weapon Expert Pack. And deal of the week this week, Crimson Alliance. Everything associated with the game is half off, so the standard game is now 800 points, and all the packs, if you just want to buy a wizard pack instead of buying the full game, you could just buy a wizard or a mercenary pack and play it that way for 560 points. So, not a bad deal if you want to try that game out. I can say it's a very competent game. I actually enjoy it. But hey, that's it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so it's news quiz time. And, you know, this is for the pride of the Overseas Connection podcast.
For all the marbles.
Yeah, all the marbles this week. All right, we will start with Mr. Primrose.
Well,
Mr. I am sleepy time, Mr. Primrose. What big name developer has recently left the company he was working at? Is it A, Cliff Bleszinski, B, David Jaffe, or C, Hideo Kojima?
Kojima.
I'm sorry, my friend. It is, in fact, David Jaffe, which is very ironic because they haven't even actually officially shipped Twisted Metal. I guess it actually shipped or is shipping this this week.
I guess it's gone gold, right?
Yeah. But he has left Eat, Sleep, and Play. Apparently, citing that, you know, because they want to go any more casual games direction, he just felt that it was a direction he wasn't looking to go in. And so he's taken himself in a different direction.
I can't imagine David Jaffe being a casual...
Oh, nor can I. Nor can I. I think this might be a very smart move for him.
Yes.
All right. Let's move to the next question, which, Mike, it's going to be for you.
I will not know the answer.
You might. Or you might not. Which franchise will be coming out with a kart racer for the PS3? Is it A, Little Big Planet, B, Jak and Daxter, or C, Sly Cooper?
A, Little Big Planet, B, Jak and Daxter.
Or C, Sly Cooper?
Say A, Little Big Planet.
You would be correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Destination PlayStation's happening right now, and they announced that Little Big Planet will be coming out with a kart racer for the PS3. No other real hard information came out of the announcement, but, well, something to look forward to, I guess. Maybe not.
I don't know. What about, I don't really care, to be honest, about another, another one.
Here's something Chris will care about. Chris, which Final Fantasy game is getting a remastering on the PS Vita and PS3? Is it A, Final Fantasy III, B, Final Fantasy VII, or C, Final Fantasy X?
Final Fantasy X.
You would be correct. Nicely done, Mr. Matthew.
My dog brought me the answer.
Yes, Shinji Hashimoto.
Hashimoto!
Yep. Said that they would be making a remastering, not a remake. He was very clear about this. He said it wasn't going to be like the re-release of Halo Combat Evolved, but more something akin to Eco Shadow of the Colossus. So something to look forward to. We don't know when it's coming out, but hey, Final Fantasy X, there you go. All right, let's go back to Mr. Primrose.
Mr. Primrose,
what game came in 7th place in the UK top 10 last week for the week ending of February 4th? Is it A, Just Dance 3, B, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, or C, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3? Yeah, got you thinking there.
Skyrim.
Skyrim is incorrect. It's actually Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Damn, son.
So running down the top 10 UK sales, from 10th to 1st, we've got Saints Row the 3rd. At number 9, Just Dance 3. Number 8, The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Number 7, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 6, Assassin's Creed Revelation. Number 5, Soul Calibur 5. Number 4, FIFA 12. Number 3, Battlefield 3. And number 2, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. And rounding out the top 10, Mike, you know you love it, Final Fantasy 13-2.
I can't believe FIFA's not higher with all the Hacksaws going around.
Hacksaw.
I think it's pretty amazing to see Battlefield 3 hanging in the top 3 and Modern Warfare 3 falling all the way to 7. That's kind of unheard of in the UK. So, yeah, go figure. All right, Mike, you are up next. And I know this one has especially got you excited. Kinect Star Wars finally has a release date.
Right.
When is it coming out? Is it A, April 3rd, B, May 3rd, or C, June 3rd?
May.
Sorry, Mike. It is April 3rd. They announced today it will be coming out along with that special edition console that, Chris, you gave up on April 3rd. You could now get it again if you wanted.
No.
And the most exciting news is they announced basically the different game modes. There's going to be 5 different game modes in the Star Wars Kinect game. You're going to have Jedi Destiny, Dark Side Rising, Pod Racing, Rancor Rampage, Duels of Fate, and most importantly, Galactic Dance-Off. Yeah, you heard that right.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Chris, final question to you. What region will not be seeing the UMD Passport program for the new PS Vita? Is it A, Japan, B, the UK and Europe, or C, North America?
Not in North America.
You would be correct. Yeah. So Sony has told Kotaku specifically that there will be no North American version of the UMD Passport program, which would allow PlayStation Vita users to transfer their PSP discs to the upcoming handheld. I have to just say, what the hell is Sony thinking? I don't understand why they would exclude North America when it's going to be one of their bigger regions to sell. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
Because they know we're dumb enough to go all buy the games again.
This also could be true. But yeah, Chris, nicely done. You are the Grand Poobah Prize winner for this week, and you get fame and recognition for another 6 days.
I get fame and fortune and worship.
And worship, yes. Worship.
In no, warships. I said warships. Galleys.
Oh, sorry. Warships, yes. Yeah. All right. That does it for the news quiz, which means it's time for the show break, which means we're probably playing Viva Pinata again, Stu. I'm just alerting you right now.
We should play the Duel of the Fates.
We might have to play something different this week. We promise. No Viva Pinata.
Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face.
Back from the break, and the break that you slept through, Rich. It's okay. It's all right, because we've got some community mailbag to get through here. Yeah. So, Mike, you probably didn't know this, but last week we had a question of the week that said, basically, would you buy a game system that didn't let you play used games? Because, of course, there is the rumor right now that the new Xbox is going to somehow block used gameplay.
Yeah.
So we said, hey, tell us yes or no, why or why not, but let's talk about it ourselves right now.
All right.
Would this be would it be an issue?
Well, if it's digital distribution only, then technically that would be the case, right?
Right. I mean, OnLive's already doing it, so to speak.
I think it's going to be the way it's going to go, yeah. Don't know if the Xbox will be like that. I think that's just people speculating. But I think it will be the way it goes.
So I guess the question is then, would you pick up a game system that did that?
It depends, I guess. You know, I'm thinking if one will do it, then
the others will jump in.
Yeah, they'll jump on.
It's probably pretty accurate. Chris, what about you? No used games.
I don't like this idea. I hear that a lot of people are saying this is just a rumor and it's probably bupkis. I tend to agree with that. I don't think this is going to actually happen. Okay. I would probably buy the console anyway because I have kind of come 180 on the whole download games thing, and I hope the next console has the option to download everything. And if I wish, I should be able to buy it without a disc, which then, of course, eliminates the ability to trade in anyway.
Right.
But I think that excludes a lot of gamers who would not, you know, they might only be able to afford one or two new games a year as opposed to, you know, seven or eight used games a year.
True.
Now, I have heard people say that, well, if they do this, they're just deserve to be pirated. No, that's not true. There's no excuse for stealing.
Agreed.
But at the same time, I think this would be a poor decision by anybody in the industry.
All right. You know, I will throw one other thing, though, Chris. If this was the case, it certainly would save certain pregnant wives from having to go to the store to pick up a game for you.
Dude, you had to out me to the world, man. Out me to the world. She was going to Target anyway, and the GameStop's right next to Target.
Rich, what about you? If you couldn't play used games on a new game system, is it something that interests you?
I knew I shouldn't have confided in you.
I know.
Yes.
I would like it to because during the lulls, that's what I normally do, pick up a few used games that I've missed over the past year and try them out. So,
Rich, did you fart again?
No, not me.
I'm not smelling anything over here either.
Okay.
If all Rich right. farted loud enough that Jenny can smell it, that's bad.
That's rough. you know, I'll throw this out there. Ironically, the PC gaming market already has this. They've been dealing with, you know, codes to basically unlock the game for many, many years, and it's still a system that's in place. So I don't think it's that far of a stretch to think that a console manufacturer may decide, you know what, you need to have a code to access the game. You know, and then maybe you have to buy a used game code if you want to unlock the game. Might not, you know, potentially could work.
What about the rental services?
Well, you know, that would be kind of the same thing. It's almost like you would have to buy a pass to play the game if you rented it. It's not exactly ideal, don't get me wrong. That would kind of suck. It would kill the rental market, for sure. But on the flip side, they could do something like on Live does, which is offer the rental just through their own service. So you pay $5, you get the rental for a few days. But I think, like Mike said, it is coming. It's just a matter of when. Is it the next system? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it's the next system that's going to have this happen, because I think it really – this kind of ecosystem truly only can really work in a fully digital environment. But I think we had some community responses on this. So, Chris, why don't we jump over to what Lag had to say first?
Let's hear from the Lagtards. Only two responses this week. I didn't make that up. They call themselves that. All right?
Okay.
No means no. Ensign Deadmeat says no, because that also means you cannot trade games with your friends. However, I also heard that this rumor is probably a bunch of bunk with 2 exclamation points. And I think that's legit. Like I think you should be able to, like, I have a buddy at work who wants to check out a game that I own. I should be able to take that game to him and say, here you go, man, check it out, bring it back, tell me what you think of it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll remove my own commentary. Z Formula says, I do not believe this is going to happen, just another rumor.
Okay, fair enough. Let's jump over to the gate. Rich, I know you have a few responses on your side.
Yeah, Dana said, yup, I don't buy used games anyway. You never know where they've been or whose smelly fingers have caressed the disc. Orty, he sent in, most games now I buy new because you need a code to play live, so it won't be bad for me, but wondering how this will work with a game rental like Love Film, which is exactly what I'm wondering. Lucky Irish guy, the only games I buy new are a few multiplayer shooters, sports, or RPGs like Skyrim. I refuse to pay for single-player games anymore and only rent them from Gamefly. I always hated spending $60 and either beating the game or not liking a game and returning it for less money. Take that option away from me and I would have to think about buying a system that I could rent games for, that I couldn't rent games for. Okay. John Mal 5, Rage Mode on. Can't play used games. Rumour holds little weight because now how would rental games work? Love Film's business would halve and Gamefly would have to go. The rumour originated from Kotaku with little substantial proof, like most of the things on Kotaku. Game developers get paid for every game they ship to the store or sell to the rental company. Used games are not killing the industry because if you buy a used game and they buy DLC, who is losing money? Nobody. If you buy a used game and enjoy it, then you might pre-order or buy the next installment of the game. Brand new. Exactly what I did with Assassin's Creed. And Dark Souls, actually. Why is it that items for every other industry is not a problem, except for gaming? The only industry to actually still turn profit from 2008 recession, which is true. Used cars do not have manufacturers like Ford moaning, and used TVs mean Samsung don't care, etc. If this rumour is true, though, I would cease to buy any new console altogether because it is just another case of money wanting more money. John Mal 5, Rage Mode off.
Nice. Thank you for that, John Mao. All right, so moving on, Dauntless Ansible had this to say. I would only consider buying a used game restricted console if and only if prices dropped and publishers stopped trying to leech their user base to death. He makes a good point. He says, online passes, DLC, that's bundled with the game that you pay to unlock. These are dirty tactics that rub me the wrong way when I drop $60 on a new game. I totally agree. He says, plus Blockbuster, Love Film, Gamefly, GameStack, Redbox, all these good companies for renting and buying used games would take a hit. He says, I am on a budget. I can't blow hundreds of dollars a year into games. Renting, buying, and selling used extends the life of my dollars considerably. And I think he makes excellent points. So he said, in today's news, the U.S. federal government has decided that used cars cannot be driven. Special devices are being added to roadways to prevent the used car access. Little pun on his end. Dauntless Ansible, also known as Ender 837. Very good point, though, in terms of the used market and also just on the whole restrictions and DLC and passes. What podcast would be complete if we didn't hear from Mr. JSS Lifelike? He had this to say in the forums. He says, why, yes, I would. As you know, I'm the most staunch against the used game business. I buy all of my games new and never trade them in if I can help it. Says, even when disposable income is tight, I'll sacrifice a meal or two to buy a new game. Jesus, the only titles I would miss out on would be the ancillary ones from the old Redbox that I could really do without playing. Now, here's where I contradict myself. I'm the legacy guy. I'm also the enabler. I force my older games and hardware on unsuspecting folks and suck them into the spiderweb lifestyle where one hit of digital crack means you've bought the farm. If this anti-used dystopian future takes place, and unless they take the original hardware, lending games would be a futile gesture. He makes another valid point. Steve Maddox says, to quote Whitney Houston, hell to the no. Okay, I'm probably lying as I will buy anything that's new and shiny enough, but I think the elimination of used game market, even though I don't buy the rumors at all, will kill the industry by forcing publishers to lower the retail prices of new games. Lower retail will mean cheaper production, less developers, fewer games, which leads to less choice, less chances of new IPs, and crappier product overall, and my daughter will end up a whore on the streets. Okay, I added the last part in. He did say it very well may go that direction, but will hurt the game industry and lead to a sharp decline. Add sleeping bag sound. Out of the 20-plus games I have played, this is Nick Nitrous 15, by the way. He says, I've played over the last year, only three were new. Gears of War 3, which I pre-ordered, Skyrim, and Batman, which were all Christmas presents. I would only consider buying a console that didn't allow used games if the games were a lot cheaper, say around the 20 quid mark. I'd rather go down the online pass road than no used games at all. If the game developers followed the Space Marine mold of being able to use the multiplayer up to level 5, it's a real pain that I can't sell on my Football Manager games every year because they're locked to me. They just get thrown in the bin, which is a waste of someone is a waste if someone out there could get some enjoyment out of it. Totally agree. Marcanix chimed in. Oh, we had quite a few responses. Jeez Louise.
A lot.
Yeah, he says, I hope this is a case of just being a rumor. I have no problems regarding buying new. Most of my games I do buy new and put on the shelf and never open up. But I also rent a few games, and this could be affected. It depends if they do like they have with the movies and have specific rental copies, which the serial code could be used on any machine, maybe. Yeah, it's a possibility, I suppose, for the rental market. He does go on. Anyway, I think if this did go ahead, it could make piracy even more prevalent, as people will just hack and mod their consoles to play used game discs or copied games, thus creating a bigger headache for the developers than the used game sales. It says also the game being linked to your profile or your console. If it's your profile, that's not too bad, but if it's the console, then that will be bad news for those with more than one console in the house. Agreed. I think locking to the profile is about the only way they could do it. It says, I personally can't see this happening and reckon it's a bit of media scaremongering. I just hope I'm right. But yes, I would probably buy the new Xbox anyway.
Yep.
And I think that's it. We had a few more random comments with the good debates. And last but not least, we did have one. Oh, geez, and actually, we have got another page. So I'm going to read Cudmorrow's, and then I'll have Mike, you follow up with Dana's last little response because he did fire up a response on page 2, and then I'll have you jump in on that email. Let's see here. So Cudmorrow said, my initial answer was no. If I can't play pre-owned games, I'll stick to the current gen of consoles. But then I saw John Malfive's post and thought I'd play Devil's Advocate. What if, by the publisher making more money from every game sale, the initial sale prove dropped in half, so $30 or 20 quid. Overall, they'd sell more brand new copies than they do now, even if less people own the consoles, as there will be no pre-owned market. We could also get rid of online codes for multiplayer, a small victory, I'll admit. Just thinking further about this a little more, if the new console was a DVD-based like the Xbox, I'd wait a few weeks and I'd just get it hacked. He says, and then the games are free. This is Cudmorrow. He's saying, I should enter a disclaimer here and say that I don't advocate piracy, but that would be a lie. And as Todd Flanders said, lies made baby Jesus cry. So if you want to pay me £250 for a new console and £50 for every game I want to play, then they deserve to get pirated to death. Okay. So what did Dana have to say, Mike?
Dana says, we must remember here that games and consoles are a luxury, not a right. Being part of the games industry myself, I have a very strong views against piracy. I think that it's a growing there is a growing attitude of enlightenment and ignorance, and some people refuse to accept that some things in life have to be saved up for. £40 for a game, that gives you 20 plus hours of entertainment, sounds like a bargain in comparison to what a local cinema did to my bank balance the other day for 2 hours of luxury, of a luxury seat with views spoiled by latecomers, fuckwits, and they were in the rug seats, and a manager who spent 15 minutes debating later with some more vocal, grumpy old bastard other than myself. That's what Dana had to say about that. And it's true, you know, you go to the cinema these days. I mean, I can't speak for American prices, but, right, so, presumably you're going to be buying for the wife, Greg. So if you went to a British cinema, right, you know, you could easily spend, like, just 13 quid on tickets.
Yeah, I mean, over here, like, they now have gotten in the practice of, like, 3D movies cost more than regular movies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And everything is released in 3D now, so... at least out here, I don't know if the same is out there with you, Chris, but our 3D movies are running about $15 a ticket.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I never pay for the 3D, so I usually pay $10 for the ticket.
I think for 3D, I'm not sure about this, but yeah, 3D is definitely more expensive. And then they also say if, for example, a film's on 3D and 2D, they'll stop the showing of the 2D one sooner. So let's say, for example, you want to watch,
Star Wars in 3D.
Say you want to watch Star Wars Episode 1. It looked like no, that's a bad example because that's right. A Hugo, a new film, right? Hugo, that's in 3D and 2D, right?
Yes.
And then you go, I want to watch Hugo, but I want to watch it in 2D. And you're about like a couple of weeks late to its release. And you go, and they're only showing it in 3D because they've stopped the 2D one.
Ah, okay.
And then now you have to pay the full price anyway. Same thing happened to me. I took my niece and nephew, the twins, to see A Monster in Paris. And you know, like I wasn't fussed about 3D. They didn't really care. But the only viewing was 3D, and the film had been out a while, so, and like, Madeline really wanted to watch A Monster in Paris, so I couldn't let her down. And
Time to pony up, Uncle Mike.
And then, you know, the cost of popcorn, you know, drink, ice cream, hot dog, whatever you want to buy, you know, you could easily spend 20, 30 quid on now, just...
Let's not kid ourselves. Popcorn and sodas at the movies is the equivalent of DLC and season passes for the game market. They rape you over the coals with that stuff.
Yeah, they do. And so, like, 20, 30 quid on, like, a movie that you might like with food that's usually a bit shit. Like, popcorn, which is I don't really eat anyway. You know, a drink that you probably won't finish because it's too big. And you put that to a game, it doesn't even bear in comparison, does it, you know?
No.
It's just, man. It's crazy. Bad. Anyway, Aaron Stevens has emailed the show. Aaron Stevens is the author of The Stolen Moon of Londor. And just thought I'd mention that. Henry's emailed us.
Yeah, did we want to just give him a honorary award so we can call him the award-winning author of The Stolen Moon?
Yeah, he is. Or? He's also award-winning, the award winner of Best Author on this podcast award.
Excellent. That's a fantastic award.
Ever.
Yeah. For now.
So, award-winning author, Aaron Stevens, author of The Stolen Moon in Londor, he's written us an email, and he says, "Greeting, guys. Been a super long time since I've emailed in last. Still been listening to the show, so keep up the great work. Got a couple of questions for you guys, then I will be on my merry way. Number one, are any of you picking up the Vita? If so, which model and which games?"
I don't think any of us are. I think the Vita is kind of a wait and see for... I'm not a big fan of a handheld anyway, so I don't foresee the Vita being on my radar scope, but I will say, if maybe it comes down in price a little quickly, I might consider. If it came down in the 3DS price range, I might give the Vita a consideration. For
well,
now, probably not.
You do all right, don't you, Greg? You know what I mean? You don't struggle. So yeah. You don't struggle for money, you know what I mean? You do all right. So you can afford that. I don't care about handheld gaming either. I'm with you there, Greg. I think the only person who would be dumb enough, sorry, you know, open enough to buy one of these handhelds is probably Rich, who's asleep now. So he'd probably buy one. He'd probably get opt into it. I don't think Chris would. Chris?
No, I'm not. I don't like the handheld, really.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Aaron goes on to say, I'm getting a first edition bundle next week, and I'm pretty excited about it. Definitely picking up Uncharted, and might also get Hot Shots Golf, even though it's the same as every other Hot Shots Golf. It comes with Little Deviants, so I might give that one a go. Question number two. Question for the panel. To the American hosts, are there any pronunciations of words the Brits say that you find odd or funny?
Yes. Well, starting with pronunciations.
Yeah, no, that was a slip. Word more than five letters I struggle on.
Yeah, it is kind of funny because there are certain words that we do say just differently. I think he actually pointed out one a little later in the email that's a prime example, the beta versus beta.
Beta and beta.
I'm trying to think if there's any other word I can think of off the top of my head that you guys say that I find funny whenever I hear it. But beta really comes to mind. I mean, that one is just – it's so – I guess maybe because we say it so often – just being talking about games that it comes up. But I mean, above and beyond that, there's words that you guys will say that, you know, are the same for a different word. And I think that's the other part of it. So you guys name things, you know, differently or have a different name for it, you know, like potato chips you call crisps.
Crisps.
Yeah, and
cookies and biscuits. So that's the big one.
Yeah, that's the huge debate. We can't get into that. We'll argue for hours. And then there was the thing like the Play-Doh, and then you guys have some stupid ass name for it. And I can't remember. But
plasticine.
It sounds like explosives. By the way, I just want to point that it sounds like it's explosives. Like you're putting some C4 down. Yeah.
I think the one that stands out for me is, like, I don't. My thing now about this whole American-British we say words differently thing is, if I'm in a room full of Americans, right?
Right.
And the word beta has to be said, I will say, you know, beta. Just because.
Because you know.
Because I know that people will go, you said it wrong, right?
Well, look at you and be like, beta? What's a beta?
Crazy girl, you lamb. Right, so if it's 50-50, right, Americans and Brits, I will say it the way I say it. And if it's British people, then I will say it the way it should be said.
Which is the incorrect way.
Lols. The one thing, so I don't, you know, like I don't mind saying soccer, for example. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's another one. I actually have come around to say football more often than not now.
Even though Americans see the sense in calling soccer football, because you know what? You use your feet a lot more than you do in American football.
No,
that's
true.
That's another debate. But it, like, I don't care. If I'm in a room with Americans, and I'll just say soccer because it just stops that whole conversation. Yeah. But the one word that really, like, just... I just can't get used to it every time an American says it. By the way, Aaron says, and to the British house, vice versa, is there any American words Americans say? The one word that Americans say that always just makes me feel, so that is just so not the way you say that, is the word route.
Route?
Yes.
So the route you're going to take, or
instead of route?
Instead of route.
Instead of route, yes. Instead of route. Every time an American says route, it sounds really odd.
Yeah, but that's because for us, a root is something that you're going to find on a tree in the ground.
You know what? It's for us as well. But you know, the thing is about the English language, Greg, you know that thing that we came up with, right? Is that something
we perfected.
That words can sound the same.
And have different meanings, yes, this is true.
Yeah. That's an amazing thing the English language can do.
And we have picked up on that just fine. Because let me tell you, the word that is the shit has many different meanings.
Also, the bollocks and the dog's bollocks, two different things.
Yeah.
You know, or, yeah, bollocks and the dog's bollocks. So, that's two different things there.
Yeah, but in fairness, you guys had to throw on the dog's thing to give it, you know, a different meaning. I mean, here we just say, you know, that is the shit, and we could be saying that is shit, and then that is, no, that's awesome.
If I say something, you know, like, if I say that's the shit, then that would be understood here.
I mean, Mike's right. It's the same thing. You know, if something is shit, then that's bad. If it's the shit, then that's good.
Yeah, but it is the root and a route, not a root and a root.
A route.
Because a route is going to put me in the ground. The route is going to get me to my destination.
There are people in the United States who say root as well.
And they are wrong.
So. Where are they from, the people that say root in America?
Maine.
Ship them back to England.
Up that way, northeast.
See, okay. they're holdouts from the old British Empire days.
Get your kicks on Route 66, right? Come on.
Yeah, Route, see? Hear it. Feel it, Mike. Convert.
You just said Route.
Whatever.
You just said Route.
I know.
See? Okay. Aaron goes on to say, for me, no, we read that. That's the whole beta beta thing. And do the British really call Band-Aids... how would you say that?
Blastoplast.
No, they don't.
that sounds like some fake word that someone made up for a Star Wars novel.
See, but no, that actually sounds like plasticine. It sounds like explosives again. You guys are just serious bombers. That's what it is.
Blastoplast. I've never heard anyone say that. A bandage. We'll call like a Band-Aid. Oh, no, the Band-Aid is the sticky one, right? Stick it on.
Here it is, Mike. This is like straight out of like a Rainbow Six scene. You say, okay, we're in place. All right, get the elastoplast out. Got it. Do you have the plasticine? Yes. All right, rig it. Set. Blow.
No.
Come on.
So which rule are you taking, really? no one would say elastoplast. No, just can you give me a bandage or something would be it. Or is that just a brand name? I think it's a brand name. Funny about the whole Play-Doh thing. Also, I'd like to pose a question for all of you and for the audience to maybe answer this week for you and next week for everyone else. Blah, blah. Oh, yeah, right, got that. How do you justify DLC in a game, particularly when it comes to single-player campaign content? Do you feel cheated if it's not in the original packaging and price? And do you prefer story DLC to be only content that is not crucial to the plot or all the main story, aka it being left out originally makes you mad that it seems more like a cash grab? Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's getting at, like, the Batman DLC, the Batwoman DLC. You had to have the season pass. If you didn't have the season pass, you didn't get the Batman Woman beginning, which...
That's a bit of a dick move. That was bigging up the Catwoman thing all the way through the previews, and it was cool. It's going to be like a cool thing. And then they went, oh, you got to buy brand new. Which I suppose, you know, like, yeah, they want you to buy brand new anyway. But if they, I don't know, I feel like they hurt,
I
that hurt
it
them.
From Gamefly. Yeah, I rented it from Gamefly. I didn't get that.
That hurt them more than hindered them, to be honest. Like, it didn't increase revenue. It kind of put like a bad spot on their sales. And, you know, I've had the game bought for me. My friend bought that game for me, and he bought a used copy of it. Not to make a big political statement or anything. He just said that it was cheaper. Like, he didn't know about it, like the Catwoman thing. He didn't really care. And I don't think I'm going to really feel like I've missed out, because I've heard that she's only at the start at the end, and if you didn't know she wasn't there, then whatever.
Yeah, I mean, for me and Chris, I don't know how you feel about it, but I mean, I like single-player content to be enhancements to kind of the end of a story or prequel, I don't think it makes sense to have DLC that actually takes place during the single player story. So in essence, you could kind of have already gone past the point in which that content takes place.
I don't mind it if it's a side plot. So like the Liberty City stories from GTA 4, how those two DLCs took place along the same timeline as GTA 4, but were, you know, they only crossed paths every so often.
Right, right.
That was fine and well done. I don't like for the main character to go back and do something else, you know, that would have already happened or whatever.
Well, yeah, like Deus Ex is a prime example. That missing the missing DLC they did, it was basically kind of what happened to him when he got in a cargo container on this ship. In the original game, you enter the cargo container and then you emerge from it at your destination. Well, there apparently was this whole story that took place while he was, you know, on that ship. And if you play the game through to the end, which most people had, and then the DLC came out, depending on which ending you took in the game, you kind of didn't care about what happened in that DLC. You know, it was playing some additional missions, but I would have been much happier with it just being, you know, hey, we added a horde mode. Here you go. Or, you know, we just added some virtual reality room missions for you to practice in type thing. Because I honestly didn't care about going back onto the ship and finding out what happened while I was, in that time frame.
There's another example of that, Greg, where in Assassin's Creed 2, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sequence, you do each kind of like level is a sequence, so like sequence 11 or like
sequences
12 and 13 or something like, wasn't it, Chris? Remember, like something like
I think 13. The thing about that was they released those as DLC, but there were no achievements tied to that DLC. I know everyone says no one cares about achievements, but clearly they do because no one bought it.
Yeah,
no. And you know, it was. The weird thing about that is, like, okay, so, you know, games get made and things get creative games, like levels or concept ideas. You know, it happens in films all the time, you know, you see, like, deleted scenes or whatever. But it was obvious that they planned that because they skipped them, like, they're numbered. You know, it's like reading a book and 13 and 14 are not in there. And they go, oh, you got to buy, like, another book for that. And it was so obvious that they planned that, which made that feel cheap. So I think the pattern is make the DLC kind of this separate entity. Like Gears of War 3 did it well. Mm-hmm. You know, Mass Effect 2 did it well. You know, the GTA, like Chris says, yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to go ahead and finish up his email? And
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still reading that.
Yeah.
Right. He says, all right, gentlemen. Enough from me this time. See you around the block. Aaron, F and A Eternal, the award-winning author of The Stolen Moon of Londor. Award-winning.
Thank you for the email, Aaron. And
no trophy on that award, by the way.
Sorry. Yeah, no trophy on that. And certainly, if anybody wants to chime in on his question about the DLC, feel free. Write into the show next week, and we can talk about it again. We don't have a problem with that. We did have a show, though, for next week. We do have a show for next week, as well as a question. Yeah,
I love the way Rich is still on the call, but clearly asleep.
You gotta love it. Question for next week. It revolves around co-op achievements. So do you think or do you feel that co-op achievements are a cheap and lazy developer tactic? Or do you think they're a valuable inclusion to a game that has a co-op mode?
Mm-hmm.
So let us know what you think about co-op achievements. Do they anger you? Do you think they're a cheap way of throwing in some achievements? Or do you think they're a valuable inclusion and they get you to play co-op and it's a good experience and it's what it should be? Now that said, let's go to some community playdates. Chris?
Yes, community playdates happening right now. So if you're listening to this show, sorry, it's too late. 2 for Tuesday on the battlefield. But fear not, it'll happen again in 2 weeks' time.
February 21st. Next Wednesday, as in the day after tomorrow, the day after this podcast gets, or the week after this podcast gets released, the 15th of February, CP, that's me, is going to host a little Gears 3 co-op night for some Horde mode. So if you want to play some Horde mode with us, send me a message. Friday night, racing starts at 9 p.m. East every night. Forza 4, join in. F1 2011 tournament continuing on Saturday. And this Sunday at 4 p.m. East, we resume the mini team racing tournament that we took a week off from. So that's back on. Happy birthday this week to Filthy, Mad Mikey, Iron Hammers, Old Duty, Amra's 89, Navajo Mud Toy, and welcome to the new members, Lawman Al and Richie 101.
Okay.
I don't know what the veteran game is played at is. Sorry.
It's okay. It's probably it's probably Duke's fault again.
We haven't done the show yet this week.
See? Duke's fault.
So yeah.
Yep.
No, that's Duke's fault. That's my fault because I was in Manchester yesterday, so
it is your fault, Mike, which reverts to Duke's fault.
Yes, that's Duke's fault. Duke did tell me to go to Manchester, so
see? Yeah. Done. All right. We do have a spotlight this week from Parsnip, so here we go.
Hello, peeps. This is Parsnip Knows 3000 with another community spotlight. This week, I'd like to mention Spork for his Geek Test questions thread. He's given away prizes for answering all the kind of nerdy questions you probably know the answer to. So why don't you trot on to the community events section and see if you can answer one. You never know. You might win something. So that's it from me for another week, and catch you next week.
All right. So, yeah, Spock has a geek test question forum area, giving away prizes.
I won the first one.
Oh, see?
I'm the lead geek.
Was that a prize that we ended up turning around and giving away on our show?
No, I didn't re-gift it.
Because that would have been priceless. Yeah, but go on there. Check it out in the forums. I mean, anytime you can win something, it's a good thing. All right, that brings us to the show closing, which means we're going to talk about how you can get in touch with us, which means, Mike, if you were going to send me an email to have read on the show,
Yes. Where
would you send that email to?
Well, Greg, you'd send that email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. That is the email for the show.
Okay. And if you are going to send a tweet to the show, Chris, where would you send that tweet?
_podcast. Yep.
Where was that again?
That's the little A with the circle around it. OC_podcast.
What's the underscore?
That is the line that's just below the level of the text. Shift and the minus key, the one next to the zero, in between the zero and the equal sign. Typically the third one from the right on the second to the top row on your American QWERTY keyboard.
Let's see.
And moving on, if you were maybe thinking about calling the show and singing us a song for our Dark Souls competition, or maybe just leaving us a voicemail, you can do that now because we do have a voice line. So you could call, and maybe Richard Primrose could call us in his sleep, and he could say, I would dial 626-506-2763, which I think would spell out to be 626-50-OC-POD. And that's our voice line.
Cool.
And I'm pretty sure from the UK, I think the UK you guys have to dial like 001 and then 626-506. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's the international code.
Don't worry, Greg. I won't be trying it because I can't afford it.
So iTunes reviews and Zoom reviews, it's not too late. We still have a few more 100-point codes to give away. So leave reviews. You just may get selected, like IP, Shanty Dan, Burial Worm, Tangy Tango Juice, and Dr. Crawmad all have won.
Dr. Crawmad.
I think that gets us to the shout-outs. So,
did you give Tangy Tango Juice? Did you get a hold of him?
I did. Alan Tang.
Alan Tang.
Yes.
When you read that out on the show, I was like, it's Alan Tang.
Yeah.
It's the Tang Master.
the Tang Master. Well, we got the code to him twice, in fact, which means that I might have sent it to somebody else. But hopefully it got to him. Yeah, exactly. Mike, why don't you go ahead. Start off the shout-outs.
Right, I'll shout out Guide, because I think the work that he does is fantastic. I'm just joking. He's not real. But I will shout out Alan Tang. Congratulations. Dr. Clawman. Well done. I'll shout out...
email. Come on. You just drew a blank. Why don't you shout out Richard Primrose's shout outs?
Should I? Because he's not awake. I don't really have shout outs. I don't prepare them.
I mean, you could be saying I want to shout out, Johnny Fartpants. Or
yeah, I want to shout out Johnny Fartpants for Love of Dark Souls. Big ups. The Black Keys. Actually, I will shout out the Black Keys because that's the band.
Yeah, you should.
And I went to Manchester to see that band. So that's exactly why I went. That's a coincidence. So, Shinyverse, of course. You know why. Orty84. Remember that thing that you said? Yeah, well, there you go. And Chris MJW. I'm looking for you, Chris.
Yeah. Chris is probably looking for me. I think he was one of the few that... was not pleased about the Viva Pinata song for the 50,000th time. But yeah, it happens.
He won't be listening anymore.
Chris, why don't you go next?
Why don't I go next? Shout out to the Facebook fan of the week, Mr. Dan Tilson. Congratulations. Shout out to Womble and Shinyverse for helping me out with some Halo Reach achievements. Always a pleasure. Shout out to Henson 2003 for helping me finish up the last chapter in Gears of War 3 on Insane that I needed. Shout out to AP Stevens for winning the best author ever to be on the OC podcast.
Well done.
And a shout out to Lost Dogs Everywhere and Cheese. Greg.
Lost Dogs Everywhere and Cheese. Wow. How do I follow that up? Well, I will shout out John Mao and the Play Vault. Don't worry, we will start posting up questions over there too, because we've kind of come to the realization we are just one gigantic podcast community. There's a lot of different communities that kind of intersect and intertwine and ancestrally love one another. So why not? We will post our questions up everywhere we possibly can.
We need to, what we need to do is make a podcast that has one of every host. Oh wait, Simon Dioi did that and it didn't work.
Yeah. We need to have our own individual identities, but we just need to make sure we're peeing in everybody's grass.
Remember Simon the Diamond, D.I.?
Oh, yeah.
We don't hear of him very much anymore, but I messaged him on Facebook not so long ago, and he's still around, but he's just busy.
Yeah, Simon is always a busy guy, and his Facebook picture, or I should say his Skype picture, was scary as hell. He looked just like mad.
He's crazy. Simon's so crazy.
Yeah, I will shout out the lag community and the real Defoe for getting me onto their Modern Warfare 3 tournament team. We'll see how that goes. I'll start talking about that probably next week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They wanted to shout you out for joining Team Rage Quit.
Team Rage Quit, which could be what happens to our team once they see me play. And a big shout out to Rob, aka Stomper 1974. Rob, I appreciated the message. It was well received, and thank you for the advice. Very much appreciated. And on that note, gentlemen, for Mr. Richard Primrose, I think we should say goodnight.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I think we'll save them up for a couple weeks for the poetry stuff. But we certainly can read off
poetry
entries.
I've gone for 1 week and you're doing fucking poetry.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Valentine's Day. Dark Souls.
Fuck Valentine's Day.
All right. Help me out here.
Someone just fart then.
No, we can't start yet because I just got completely turned around and confused.
Did you hear that?
Did you fart?
Yeah, that fucking at least Mike's good.
I heard you farted.
Yeah. I heard it went like that. It went up. It was up one. It is good.
But that's neither here nor there.
That is neither here nor there. Or everywhere.
That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, it has to be either here or there.
No. It doesn't make any sense. Neither here nor there.
I suppose if there is a specific location, then certainly there's a lot of things that could be in neither of the two locations, here or there.
Hello.
Somebody's
much better.
Closer.
It's improving every inch.
But it's clearing in my eyes. I've got my nose pressed up against the glass.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're going to fall asleep.
I can picture Primrose sitting there licking his screen while he's doing the podcast.
I'm a screen licker.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to your overseas connection.
That was good.
Hello,
Chris. What's going on?
We could run with that. Well, Chris, why don't we have you introduce the show? You ready?
I'm trying to get the show going. All right, I'll try to introduce the show. Let's see how I do. Lion face, lemon face. Lion face, lemon face. Okay.
Yellow lorry.
All right.
Yeah, Dr. Cromad, I will make an effort to try and track you down. Not quite sure what that noise in the background is. Sounds like we've got...
Rich is cooking marshmallows on his campfire.
A pair of shih tzus.
Probably.
Yeah. A pair of shoes? You should get some new shoes.
Oh, I love that song, Greg.
Never get tired of that one.
I'm sure you do. Sorry, Mike. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Memory. Let the corner of my mind.
All alone in the moonlight. Oh, you weren't going with that one?
No.
Sorry. No cats?
Here we go. All right. Really, Chris?
Wait, you said here we go.
I'm trying to go. Oh, are you going to do the intro music? Is that what you're trying to do?
Here we go from Star Wars. Ta-da! That's technically Here They Come, but this is something.
So on a side note, I feel really bad. Here I told Steve that our question for this week was going to be about the DLC, the co-op stuff. And I'm like, you're going to get that email off. Get it to us quick. I'm like, wait a minute. That's for next week. So he's already answered our next week's question. Do we bother trying to wake Rich up?
Rich!
Wake up.
No. Oi! Rich! Rich!
Boy, screw.
Rich! Rich, you dick. Dog tells his shit.
He's going to wake up at like 4:30 in the morning and just start shouting Battlefield 3.
He's going to wake up with a big drool stain on his iPad and be sad because he ruined it.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.